We're going to talk a little bit about justice tonight and about God. Goodness sakes. This happens to me all the time. I got to figure out how this works. Let's try this. All right. Well, that's as far as it's going to get. So, you know Job, the story of Job, and he writes in his book, he talks about all the things that he went through. And in Job 9, verse 16, he writes this. He says, "Even if I summoned him and he responded, I do not believe that he would give me a hearing. I think he thought at this point that God wasn't really listening to him." And you can understand why, because he wants to have a conversation with God and say, you know, God, why me? You know, and so he has this point, which brings us to the point of the whole message is God is just. One of the things that I find mildly exciting in the afternoon, if I get home about 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock, I turn on Fox and they'll... An episode of Judge Judy will be on, and I'll catch Judge Judy. Now listen, she's kind of a nut job, I'm telling you, but she has, she calls herself the truth machine, and she loves to dispense justice, you know what I mean, and she likes to do that, and she, I can't help but wonder that maybe her judgments aren't exactly fair. She gets a little moody sometimes, but anyways, as we look at God, we'll see that God's justice is fair. And you'll see that in the scriptures today. You know, God didn't go to law school, and he doesn't have a TV courtroom or anything like that. But Moses writes, it puts it this way in Deuteronomy. He says in chapter 32, verse 4, he says, "He is the rock, his works are perfect, and his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he." Now see, God acts in a way that's consistent with the requirements of his character, as revealed in the law, right? His rules, his creation, with honesty, he keeps his word to us. He renders to all creation their due. He is going to render all the justice that he needs. Now see, here's the great thing about God. He plays by the rules all the time. He's consistent all the time. And the norm of his justice is based upon his character. Now, we know who God is. He's got this holy character, and he's consistent. He's straight. And this is what is different than humans. Sometimes humans, we don't make a decision based upon our straight and narrow. We make a decision sometimes about how we feel, or the way somebody comes across, or, you know, the reason we call criminals crooks is because they're crooked. That's how we describe them. And God is the only thing throughout eternity that has remained straight. He's never done a crooked thing, okay? And so we're going to look at some passages real fast. I want to kind of build us up to the point of who God is, okay? So in Psalm 75:7, it says, "But it is God who judges." Proverbs 29:26, we're going to go through these kind of quickly here. "Many seek an audience with the ruler, but it is from the Lord that a man gets his justice." In Daniel 9:14, it says, "For the Lord our God is righteous in everything he does." Our fascination in life with fairness is unreal, if you look at it. Jesus tells a parable in Luke 18 about the widow and a judge and how they clash, right? This desperate widow and this judge. He tells a story about this is the opposite kind of judge. The parable talks about God's justice. And so as we look at it, you're going to see what happens. There's some things you need to know about justice. I'm going to just rattle off these 4 points. We're going to hit them individually. First of all, we want justice. Second of all, we don't want justice. Have you ever thought about that? It seems contradictory, but we want it, but we don't want it. We're going to get it, and sometimes we have to wait for it. And so the first point is we want it. Now Luke chapter 18, verse 2, it says, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. Now see, judges in the time of Jesus were politicians, and they were crooked, a lot of them, and they were notorious for being able to be bribed. So you could pay the judge and you would get your verdict. It happens today, too. If you can afford a good lawyer, you can afford all the right things, you can get things done in your direction. And so she doesn't measure up to the judge's standards, so she is the only weapon that she had in her arsenal, and that's persistence. She knew that she could never receive justice from a crooked judge, but what happens is we have this clash of personalities. He is the social person who is well known in the city, and you have a widow who's worth nothing, and she was on the lower rung of the cultural ladder, and they had no clout, they had no cash, and no connections, and they were easy prey for predators. And so that's why we're supposed to take care of widows. And one day a thief came and robbed her blind, and she appeals to the judge for justice, and she doesn't seek vengeance. That's not what she said. She just wants justice. And so do we. We want justice as well. You've been hearing that a person gets shot or killed, and then we see marches for justice, and we march for justice, and somebody else gets killed, and then there's a march for justice against that person and or against whoever did that. And so we hear this back and forth, back and forth. We all want to see justice, because what happens when injustice happens, it leaves a bitter taste in our mouth. It feels like something is not right. And at school, when a bully shoves us or ridicules us, we demand justice, right? And at work, when an employee lies to us, we demand, or an employer lies to us, we want justice, right? We demand justice. In a marriage, with our partner who cheats on us, we want justice, right? And so we demand justice in all these things. And I got to tell you, we moved here 10 years ago. My son Daniel started playing basketball for City Christian, and we would go to the basketball games. And you know me, I'm a sports numbskull, and so I would sit and listen to the ref make calls, and I would see things like, you know, I have no idea what they mean. This took me 8 years to figure out what this meant. You know, and I just learned that this year. And so I've got all these, and there's one call that I never understood. They'd go like this. What does that mean, Trev? Technical. What's a technical foul? Somebody ticks off the ref, right? Technical foul. They do something, and they would do this, and the coach had to go sit down on the bench. I'm like, I don't understand that. Or the kid could be called out of the game. And a lot of it has to do with they'll flip the ball at the coach, you know, at the ref, you know. They're supposed to hand the ball to the ref, and if they flip it, they get a technical. And so I didn't know all this stuff. And so I used to get really angry, right? And I thought, well, now they're getting picky, you know, because maybe I'm used to dealing with teens with attitudes. But they get kind of picky when a kid gets a little snotty, they give them a technical, right? And all the kid did, I think I saw one of the Johnson boys flicked his shorts or something, and the guy threw him out of the game. And I got to tell you, we get upset because of the call. And we want them to be fair. But here's the deal. You're okay when it's the other team getting a technical. You ever notice that? We want it to be fair, but we want it to be in our favor too. So we can't always have both, right? We get upset. And here's the thing, I think we get upset about these calls in our life. We have these things that happen in our life, and we get angry with people. We get angry with something that happens, and maybe you have an adversary or a minion or somebody who, not a minion, what's the word? Anyways, you have a bad guy and a good guy relationship. Anyways, you have this guy who's offended you, or they're opposite of you, and I think we become like that desperate widow, and we seek justice. And so we figure maybe we got fired unjustly, or we got asked to leave our employment unjustly. They decided to terminate our relationship as employer, your employee. And so you really want justice, right? And that's true, right? And here's what's so funny. The contradictory of that is we don't want justice as well. I remember, so we want justice when it's other people. I remember when I was in college, I took a humanities class. And humanities was like, they decided to try it out on our class for the first time. So all classes were like 3 units. That's what college is. You get 3-unit classes, 4 units maybe. This was a 5-unit class. 4 units you'd get for going to class, and 1 unit you'd get for a lab. So that's 5 units. And you get all your humanities done in one class, right? So here's the day. They had 5 professors, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Music, literature, history, art, and whatever the 5th one is, anyway. Philosophy. And so you have all these 5 teachers, and they lecture every day. And then 1 day a week, you had to go to a lab, and you could pick your favorite professor and go to that lab. Well, of course, I was a musician, so I went to the music lab because it was on the floor I hung out on, and I knew Mr. J, and Mr. J was cool, and so I thought I'd go hang out with him. And he did. He taught humanities through a musical perspective, right? And then here's what they did. They would each write a test, and then to keep it fair, they would shift the test over one teacher. So I didn't get the music professor's test. I got the history professor's test. And so I knew nothing about the history because I didn't pay attention to that. I was paying attention to the music. Right? And so when the grades came around, you get 4 units and 1 unit. I got 4 units for the class. I got a passing grade. But the lab, I failed because of the test. So I want justice. So I go into the advisor's office for the department. I say, look, this isn't fair. It's the same class. How can I pass one and fail the other? He says, oh, you want justice. So what do you think he did? He gave me an F in everything. He said, there you go. Justice served, right? You got what you wanted. You got your consistent grade. So I basically had to retake humanities next year. And by the way, they changed the way they did their testing the following year. And so I passed finally. But the problem was, I want justice, but I want it my way. You ever thought about that? You know? And there's like this, you know, if we were to stand in God's court, we would have a really flimsy defense of who we are. You know, he says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's nobody who can stand before God and say, I am not a sinner. Only Jesus could say that, right? And then what does he say in Romans 6:23? Right? He says that the wages of sin is death. So there's a payment to be paid, justice is to be served, and the payment is to be death. And there's no possibility for a plea bargain. Here in this world, we have decided that plea bargaining is okay. So some people say, well, I'll cop to one, right? Like my teacher said, I went in to try to plea bargain with him, and he gave me the F, you know? And maybe I deserve it. Because really, if you get a D in a class, you probably. But in college, it's just a pass or fail at some point. Anyways, so we sometimes get the F that we deserve. So we don't really want justice. We want it, but we don't want it, right? And so we want it and we don't want it. And then thirdly, we know we're going to get it. There's going to be justice coming. Eventually, she gets her day in court, this widow, right? And the judge, even though corrupt, he finally caves in. And Jesus tells us why he continues in verse 4, referring to the judge. He says, for some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. Now, he gets tired of this hounding that happens. And I wonder about our you know, asking God for justice, if he gets tired of us hounding him for justice. And anyways, the judge finally responds, not because it's the right thing to do, but because it's the convenient thing to do. And then Jesus says in verse 6, he says, and the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. You can see how a judge becomes a judge. Sometimes they grease the wheels, and sometimes they bribe, and they get this in a place. And so what happens when sometimes you get a judge that, when I was younger and I would go to traffic court, they'd say, oh, you don't want Judge so-and-so, you're going to end up paying double the fine, or whatever. They had a reputation for being a judge that was overly harsh. Or you want this judge because they're overly easy, right? But see, here's the problem with that system. It's a corrupt system because it's not run by God. And so God is the author of absolutes. His standards are not arbitrary. It's not okay for one person to commit murder and somebody else can not do it. You know what I mean? He doesn't say that. He said, your sin is your sin. Everybody is a sinner, right? And he's indifferent to the needs, or the bad judge is indifferent to the need of the plaintiff. He's only caring about himself, but God, he cares about us. Matter of fact, he cares about us so much, he can't be bribed. He sent his son, right? And God sent his, God will judge the world, and he has to judge the world because there will be a point where he comes and he judges you, and he judges me. That's what he does. There was I was reading a story about a police lineup, and they had the guys step out for it. They'd say, they say this line, give me all your money or I'll shoot. And finally one of them said, that's not what I said. And so what happens was he admits his guilt, right? He's like this guy. He's so guilty, it's hard to keep quiet. You know what I mean? Some people look guilty. Have you ever thought about that? Some people look guilty. And so the difference is God sees us beyond the outside. He's compassionate toward people. The unjust doesn't care. The unjust judge doesn't care about people. He just cared about getting rid of this woman. John 3:17 says this: for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to do what? To save the world through him. And you see, if you just trust in God, you're saved from judgment. Seems pretty easy, right? You're saved from condemnation if you just trust in God. And then finally, we know that we can be pardoned. Right? We know that sin has been paid for. If you were to draw a line, right, and you were to just draw this line of like this, and you would see this is, how do I put this? I want to make sure I get this right. Anyways, draw this line vertically, all right, and this is God's justice, straight up and down, right? And then you draw this line horizontally, and that's God's love. You have justice and love. What happens when they meet in the middle? It's the cross, right? So you think about it this way. You have God's justice, you have God's love, and then you have this picture of the cross. Because we know that Jesus Christ, right, died for us, right? He sent his only son for both the righteous, right, and loving. He has given himself because that's what he demands. He demands payment for sin, and that sin, or that payment, is death. Romans 3:26 says he did not demonstrate his justice at that present time so as to be just as the one who justifies the one who has faith in Jesus. The cross was the most horrible and beautiful thing all at the same time. It was the most gracious act in history. And the penalty for all of us has been taken care of on this cross. And I guess you have to ask yourself, are you going to be declared just in his sight based upon the decision you've made? And you don't have to pay the price. And then finally, we have to wait for it. And sometimes waiting for justice is going to take a lifetime. The context of this parable comes from talking about the second coming of Christ. In Luke 17 and Luke 18 begins, Then Jesus told the disciples the parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. And then in verse 8, he says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? The implication is that he's probably not going to find it. You look around. Do you see a world of faith right now? It's getting worse. We have the reason to doubt and despair is larger than it ever has been. I don't know how many times that you've been victimized or how many times you've been wronged in your life. I can think of many times in my own life that I've been wronged. And I waited for justice to be served. And these people aren't getting the justice I thought they needed, they deserved. I feel like they've gotten away with something. You ever felt like that? And I just want you to know that God is not deaf to your cries. He understands your hurts. And unlike the widow, we don't have a judge to go pester and get it done. God is always going to put you first, if you just look at it this way. And look at Genesis 18:25, asks the question, will not the judge of all the earth do right? What he's saying is, don't you think that God is going to take care of this situation? Sometimes we got to walk away from a job that we thought we needed to have. Maybe we got to walk away from a relationship that we were supposed to have, right? But see, 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came and died so that we don't have to worry about that. You know, our sins are taken care of. This person who wronged you, they will be taken care of by God. There's nothing you can do to punish them. All it does is punish us. And so what is the reason? Why do we have to wait? Is it a healthy thing to wait? Well, if you wait a little bit, what does it develop? It develops faith. Waiting requires faith. And secondly, and I think even more importantly, is that the reason he delays the second coming is to give those people a chance to repent. Because I think that would be the best. Right? Oh, to wish, you know, we say it all the time, I wish God would come. Man, I long for the day when he's going to toot and I'm going to scoot. They just wait for that. But really, who else is missing it? Each day that judgment's postponed is another day that someone can receive him. So, ask yourself, have you had God erase all of your sins? Oh. 8 or 9 years ago, Faith had to go to the ER for kidney stones. We were at Lincoln Street at the time, and we had insurance, but it was not the greatest insurance. So anyways, it was one of those healthcare share programs. And so they suggested that we, because she had to have surgery, they suggested that we write the hospital and ask for some lenience and a payment plan, and the insurance would pay it, but they want you to write the hospital and get them to bring it down more. That's how that insurance thing works. And so I thought, okay. So we wrote the letter. And then I got a letter from the hospital about 3 weeks later. And it was $17,000. The hospital said, we're going to forgive it this time. So we only do it one time. We're going to forgive it this time. And so they wrote it off. I still have the letter on my desk. I couldn't believe it. Unheard of, right? But see, that's what God does. You write him a letter. You say, God, I want to invite you into my life, and I want you to take all these sins and get rid of them for me. I want you to write me a clean slate. I want you to pay off all this debt, right, this sin debt that I have. And it's not automatic. They wouldn't have written it off if we didn't write a letter. They would have never known. They'd have just kept charging me, and I'd have to start running. I wouldn't be able to answer the phone. You know, that you get that caller ID that says, hospital's calling, you know what they want. It's about 6:30, it's dinner time. They want to find out why you haven't paid. been through that, right? Okay, so what happened was, if we hadn't actually asked, we wouldn't have gotten forgiven. And that's the same principle with God. If we don't ask, we're not forgiven. He offers forgiveness, but you have to ask. And here's the deal. You're going to have to pay for your sins. You're either going to pay for them in hell, and that's where justice will prevail, or you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, and that's where justice will prevail. Either way, it's going to get paid. You don't get to outrun it. You eventually have to make that choice of how you're going to pay it. God wants us to have that. And I don't know if you know anybody, I know most of you that have a relationship with the Lord, and I've talked with you individually. I've heard your testimony, and I know where you come from. But even strongest of Christians have non-Christians in their life. And we always ask, why won't they accept Jesus Christ? Well, they don't realize yet that there's a need for forgiveness. Because they haven't come up with a crisis yet. They haven't come up, the bill will come due one day, and then the crisis will hit. What you pray for is that God will see that. God will prevent that by giving them a choice to make, give them a chance to make it. One of the best things you can do, and I've always said this, is somebody who's not a Christian, I pray that God does a miracle in their life. Because miracles are undeniable. And they can only see God in a miracle. Right? And miraculous things happen, and God does that. Even for non-Christians, He performs miracles. You know? Think about that. In the desert, Moses going through the river, the Red Sea, walking through there, right? You get to the other side. He saved all those people. And you know, he killed some on the other side. Gave him a chance. One more chance. Just pray for a miracle in your life. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you again for tonight. We thank you that you are just. And Lord, as we look at that scripture, we see that we started off with Job who seeks justice. And we see the widow who seeks justice. Father, we in our lives seek justice. But Father, tonight I hope that you have revealed in us that you are a God who takes care of the justice, and we can just live at peace knowing that you sacrificed your Son for us. We thank you for this night. We pray that you would be with us as we close the service in a song, and help us to have a great week, and help us to focus our attention on how we can serve you more and love you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.